Years ago, when I was just a boy up in Idaho, we had a thunderstorm come. I just loved to watch thunderstorms because I could watch them out across the valley, out from our house. Our house was kind of on a little hillside, and we had a storm come right through our neighborhood, and my mother was at the kitchen sink washing dishes, looking out the window, and all of a sudden, boom, and all of a sudden she saw this big ball of fire bounce down the hillside. She got a little excited. It stopped and disappeared. And the next morning, my dad went out to do his regular chores. We had a little five-acre place of acreage of grass that had to be watered. It was his turn to water with a neighbor, and us shared a watering system. He went up the hill to check the water, got to the barn, and the electric fence was off. That's interesting. Why did that happen? He went up the hill, and six of the wood fence posts were scattered everywhere across the And the neighbor had just finished cutting the grain on his lot, and the first thing that went through my dad's mind was, why did that combine destroy my fence? And he started looking, and the fence posts were burnt and just scattered everywhere. And the barbed wire that was on the fence, it was blue from charring and just in pieces scattered everywhere. And the water wasn't running. So Dad went, followed the line where it went down the hill through an aluminum pipe. And he noticed the aluminum pipe kind of looked different. And he got down to the pump, and the pump was off. And he started checking. All the wiring was burnt out of it. The lightning had hit the top of the hill right where those fence posts were, just exploded them, and traveled down the electric line, the fencing, through the aluminum pipe to the pump and destroyed it. Well, that was our excitement. Have you ever had that happen close to you? Another little story. When we lived in Lordsburg, one of the little ladies there, her son, her nephew, was preaching in Deming, so I was going over to date a certain young lady that's sitting here in the room today, and so I took Mrs. Woudsma with me. She went over to see her son, and I went over to see another lady, and on our way home that evening, there was a storm coming across the desert there in the southern part of the state, and we were talking about, have you ever seen lightning up close? No, I've never seen it happen very close. And we're flying down the freeway, 70 miles an hour, and boom, right in front of us. A yucca plant was no longer there. I mean, it was right in front of us, and God kind of answered our statement. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we saw lightning up close? We were quiet for about the next 10 minutes. I think I've seen enough. Lightning is powerful. The professionals tell us that one lightning bolt has enough energy in it, enough charge in it to light up a city like the size of Santa Fe for a whole minute, the entire town, in one lightning bolt. The problem is we haven't figured out how to harness all that energy because it comes so extreme, sudden, we don't have anything that can contain the power of a lightning bolt. Powerful energy. People are interested in power. We're still interested in power. From the microscopic atoms to several tons of steel, we look for ways to harness power. Women want detergents that clean with just a few drops, don't you? And you want vacuums that make your carpet look brand new, right? And it's not just limited to the women, also the guys. We want big tools. We want big vehicles with big motors with lots of power. And we like to display that power and make our little engines sound like they're big with the mufflers that we put on. So, blah, 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 blah. And you got a little 5-horsepower engine inside. Bodybuilders devote hours each week to develop their muscles. We cover everything with the idea of we want more power. We covet power. We want scrubbing bubbles to scour our bathrooms. We want magical genies to pop up and out of a bottle to help us. Right? We even measure how much power we don't get. How many of you use 2% or no fat milk? How many of you drink diet soda because you don't want that power? How many of you look at the gas pump when you're filling up your vehicle and make sure you get the 85% octane gas and not the 90%? There's a little price change there. Sugar-free? I mean, the list goes on. We want more power, and then we don't want power. There's power which is vital for every person that is too often ignored and neglected. This power comes from God, and it's God's gift to us. He is God's gift. He is the Holy Spirit. And we've seen him mentioned in some of our songs. The song that we just finished, We Believe, talks about the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. Scripture warns us to be careful to not deny or overlook the need for the Holy Spirit, to reject the Holy Spirit. His power is the only force that protects us from Satan's schemes. He is the one who is with us to help us. He is the one who seals us for God. So today we're going to look briefly at a few of the aspects of the Holy Spirit as we look at some of the scripture that addresses his power. Would you turn with me to the book of Acts chapter 1, the first 8 verses? We will see the Holy Spirit specifically addressed 3 different times in 8 verses. The first account I composed, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up into heaven, after he had by the Holy Spirit given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen. To these he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. Gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which, he said, you heard of from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and on all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth. The power of the Holy Spirit. Let's take a look at that today, but before we do that, would you join me in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the loving God, that you are in control over this entire universe, that your will is being done, it is being performed. And Father, you care about us extremely, to the point of even putting on human flesh, coming in the person of Jesus Christ, and dying for our sin, conquering the grave. And it has not ended there. You are continuing to work in your people with your Spirit. You continue to reach out to people through your Spirit. You're reaching out to us today to help us to continue to grow and mature if we will listen. So, Father, I pray that we would have open hearts and open minds to your word, to your will, to your Spirit. Thank you for your scriptures. Thank you for your promises. Thank you for your abundant blessings. Lead us and guide us. Help us have open hearts, open minds, and open will to your will. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we've read this passage in just 3 times in 8 verses. We have the mention of the Holy Spirit. I don't know if, did you take time to count the mention of the Holy Spirit through the songs that we sang today? Probably not. Probably wasn't on your mind. But the Holy Spirit is an important part of the Christian life. The first thought I want to deal with is, how has the Holy Spirit been active in history? How has the Holy Spirit been active in history? And of course, we're talking about recorded history, and most importantly, the biblical history. The Bible says that He precedes people, for He is eternal. He is part of God. So we look at the Scriptures, we see Him mentioned many, many times. The Spirit was active in creation. As the creation was being performed, the Spirit was there already, helping form the universe. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2 tells us that the Spirit of God was moving across the face of the deep. Now, some people try to exclude that or excuse it away, saying, oh, well, that's just talking about God was floating around up there. Well, part of God was there, His Spirit. And the Scripture already tells us, point blank, the Spirit of God was moving across the face of the deep. Then in verse 26, we have the Spirit involved in the creation of man in God's image. Looking at the verbiage, it is the plurality. From the very beginning, we learn that God is not just a singular person. He presents Himself in multiple persons. And as we make our way through the Scripture, we eventually get to the Trinity aspect, the Father, the Son, and the who? Holy Spirit. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 13 describes the Holy Spirit as one without a counselor, one who does not need a teacher because He is eternal. There's only one power that is eternal, and that would be God. So we learn that the Holy Spirit is part of God, the eternal one who does not need a counselor or teacher, just like God the Father or God the Son. As sin filled the earth, we had reference to that earlier this morning in the comments. God warned that His Spirit would leave the earth in Genesis chapter 6, verse 3. And as a result, only Noah and seven other people survived the flood that destroyed the internal representation of all life that was floating, that was living on earth. All the air-breathing creatures were destroyed unless they were on the ark. The Bible presents this as a fact. It's not a fairy tale. And the evidence of the flood is all around us, even here in this valley. The Old Testament records that only a few select righteous people received the Holy Spirit. We're talking about Old Testament. Mostly, the giving of the Holy Spirit was limited to prophets, judges, priests, and a few kings. And then ultimately was promised to be very evident in the promised Messiah, the Savior that was to come. The Spirit descended upon Jesus at His baptism in the form of what? In the form of a dove. We learn that in the Gospels, in the introductions. He continued to assist the Christ in all of His ministry. We just read that in the verse 2 of our text here in the book of Acts, chapter 1. And the Holy Spirit helped Jesus, the Messiah, give directions to His disciples in their daily living. Jesus promised that every believer in Him would receive the Spirit. This is the promise of John chapter 14 and also John chapter 16. Jesus spends several moments, makes several comments about every believer in Jesus Christ would receive this Holy Spirit, part of God, dwelling within them, teaching them truth, filling the believer with qualities that were pleasing to God. And we have New Testament texts speaking of the importance of the Holy Spirit in our lives, the gifts that He gives, the abilities He gives. So we see that the Spirit is God's gift to every believer who is immersed into Christ. This is one of the key points of the first gospel message preached by Peter at the coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, that every believer who was immersed into Christ would receive the gift of who? The Holy Spirit, that he would dwell in those believers as God's helper to them. That promise is still true today for all who will believe and obey the call of Jesus Christ. That is one of the reasons why we encourage people to be to Christ as part of their obedience to Jesus. Who has been influenced by the Holy Spirit? Well, the Bible tells us that the Spirit of God has tried to help every human being. He's tried to influence every human being in some way for the good of God, for the glory of God. We just referenced to the Spirit giving up on men before the flood because they turned their backs on God so badly. As a result of that, the flood was sent to destroy those evil people. We read in the Old Testament, especially in the book of Exodus, chapter 31, that select craftsmen were filled with the Spirit to construct the tabernacle for the purpose of worshiping God, but they were given those extra gifts, those special gifts, to do high-quality work, exceptional work beyond the average. These men were given those exceptional abilities that honored their Creator, honored God, and they used those abilities in metallurgy as well as linen works. God says those were gifts from Him through His Spirit. The Spirit of God empowered the judges of Israel to lead the people out of bondage in their oppressions. Deborah, Gideon, Samson, and others were all led, personally motivated by the Holy Spirit working in them and through them. The Spirit entered King Saul before he became king as a sign that God had chosen him to be the first king of Israel. Unfortunately, we read also that Saul turned his back on God and began doing things his own way. And what was the result? Scripture says the Spirit left Saul, and then that left him open to evil spirits who afflicted and caused him problems. Go back and read your book of 1 Samuel and see the tragedy of the life of Saul. Chosen from and as a nobody to become the king of Israel, and then he tried to do things his own way, turning his back on God and losing the blessing of God as a result. We turn to the New Testament. One of the very first stories, most important stories, is that Mary became pregnant with Jesus. How? By the power of the Holy Spirit coming upon her. The miracle of the virgin birth is one of the major prophecies that tell us that Jesus was the Messiah. It was foretold by Isaiah, and the New Testament confirms that Jesus came to be through a miraculous birth. He is both God and man. Came as the Redeemer, the Messiah for us, for the purpose of dying, conquering death for our benefit, so that we can live with God in heaven. And today, since the New Testament church began, since the beginning of the church, Christians are called temples of the Holy Spirit. Do you consider yourself a temple dedicated to God? If you're a believer, obedient to Jesus Christ, the Scripture says you are His temple, that the Holy Spirit dwells within you. For we are not to live for ourselves, we are to be totally devoted to God for His service in this world. Devoted to God through Jesus Christ in our mind and in our body. that God lives in us. Jesus said, I will not leave you as orphans. He didn't leave us as orphans. He gave us His Spirit, God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to live in us. What happens to people who reject the Holy Spirit? I've referred to that, referenced it already, but you know what? Nothing good can happen when you reject the Holy Spirit. Nothing good. When a person drives out goodness, you are driving out godliness. Part of the characteristics of the Holy Spirit is goodness. Goodness is one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit's presence along with other desirable good traits. So whenever we reject the Holy Spirit, all of God's good things also go away with it. God's judgment came upon the ancient world through the flood, drowning every land creature that breathed unless they were on the ark. The rainbow is our sign, our reminder that God's promise not to flood the entire world again is made. The flood was real. Will we remember the sign that God gave to us is reminding us that God destroys sin. And the world has taken that sign and has perverted it and twisted it. You need to remind people what the original purpose of the rainbow is. It's God's sign that He won't judge the world by a flood, but He will judge the world by fire. And not just the world. He has promised to destroy the entire universe. You know, our world is all focused on, oh no, we're having global warming. The earth is getting too hot. The earth is going to burn up. No, the entire universe is going to burn up because of our sin. Unless we obey Jesus Christ. And we need to be a reminder to the world. Stand firm in the truths of the Scripture because they are eternal truths. They will give you life. The Spirit gives you life. Will you walk in the Spirit? To continue to reject the Holy Spirit, not only does a person face judgment, we see many examples of other things you lose. You can lose. Samson lost all of his strength when he betrayed his vow to the Lord and the Spirit left him. Recorded in Judges 16. But then Samson renewed his commitment to the Lord and his hair grew and what happened? The Spirit came back for one final act of judgment, but that act of judgment cost Samson his life in destroying his enemies, the Philistines. The Jewish leaders rejected Jesus as the Messiah. In spite of all the powerful testimonies of His miracles, His teachings, His lifestyle, and more, they sold themselves into Satan's corruptions. They were seeking to destroy Him. And Jesus got into a discussion with them in John chapter 8, starting in verse 42. Jesus said, you're following your father, the destroyer. Oh no, our father is Abraham. No, your father's not Abraham. Your father is the destroyer, Satan himself. They had sold themselves out. They were trying to destroy the Messiah who was the Scripture had promised would come. Jesus was doing all that the Scriptures had foretold He would do, and they still rejected their Messiah because their hearts were sold out to Satan. What a sad story that Jesus came for how many people? For all people. And those who knew about Him had the Scriptures memorized. The ones who knew most about Him rejected Him. Let's not be like those people. As the church continued to grow and flourish, Ananias and Sapphira tried to lie to the Holy Spirit. What happened to them? They were immediately struck dead. Elymas the magician was blinded for defying the Holy Spirit. Don't test the Holy Spirit. The Scripture warns us, be careful. Don't dishonor the Holy Spirit. You're dishonoring God Himself. It is not wise to defy the Holy Spirit. So what happens to people who do accept the Holy Spirit? What happens? Well, we sang about it. We had the passage from Romans this morning that talks about we have life and we have peace. We have all that is good if we will accept the Holy Spirit. Part of God lives right here inside of us. Just think of that. God is in you through Jesus Christ because His Spirit dwells within you. The Spirit of God is not limited by physical barriers. He is able to be in every believer, motivating us, guiding us, teaching us the will of God so that we will honor and glorify God. What a blessing. The Spirit of God instructs believers in God's truths and God's ways. He especially was busy in the beginning with the church. They did not have the New Testament, so the Spirit had to personally work in those believers. He worked through the apostles, helping them to teach, helping them to say and to do those things that needed to be said and done. But when now we have the Scriptures, and we need to be sure to walk by the Scriptures, but be led by who? The Holy Spirit. He still instructs us on how to apply the Scriptures to today's living standards. We learn to live by God's standards, not by the world's standards. He transforms our thoughts. He transforms our actions so that we are always pleasing to our Father in heaven. The Spirit gives a variety of spiritual gifts, ministries, and talents and effects to glorify God, to help the church to function properly. I don't know that there were any computer experts in the first century, but we have them today. Where does that knowledge come from? Oh, I got it myself. I just was born with it, right? Wrong. All gifts, all talents come from the giver of all good things, from God Himself. And how does God work through people? Through His Spirit. When we deny the source, we are denying the power. Give God the praise and the glory for your talents, for your abilities, for your knowledge, for your skills. He is the one who gives you all that is good. We need to function as God's church, being helped by His Spirit through the talents, spiritual gifts, ministries, and effects that He gives to function as one body. Not all of us have the same talents or same abilities or same gifts, but the Spirit gives to each one so that all can benefit for the glory of God. The Spirit intercedes for us, for believers, for brothers and sisters all around the world. He's interceding. He's pleading for our benefit, speaking to our Heavenly Father about things that we don't even realize we need to be praying about. Situations that we don't recognize. Powers of evil that we don't see, but He sees. And He is interceding for us through Jesus, who is at the right hand of God, also interceding for us. God cares about us. He wants the best for us. And He helps us with His Spirit. And on top of that, we are told that the Spirit of God seals believers in the promise of eternal life. He seals us. He protects us. He is our guarantee that Jesus didn't die for nothing. He died to save us for eternity. What a blessing. We have been redeemed and we are protected because God puts His ironclad protection around us. It's better than iron. It's better than titanium. It's the power of God surrounding us, helping us, empowering us to be servants of the living God. Through the blood of Christ, through the resurrection of our Christ, our Savior, we have the protection of the Holy Spirit. Once we have the Spirit with us, we also begin developing the traits, the fruit of the Spirit. We become more like God, putting on His nature, maturing in the will of God, practicing the fruit. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Can you remember the little chorus? Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy and peace. Fruit of the Spirit is patience, kindness, goodness. It is faithfulness and gentleness, self-control. And some of you are saying, get control yourself, Dave. God is good. He gives us so much. And this is just a quick look at the blessing of the Spirit of God that He gives to us. The power of God's Spirit is greater than any other power in this universe because it is God's power. The creative power, the sustaining power, the power of life. Trust in God's gift given through Jesus Christ. His power will help you face Satan, help you face temptation, help you face evil itself. Christians can confidently walk with our Redeemer because we are redeemed, because Jesus has provided the sacrifice. Jesus has paid the full price. We walk in God's power, His Spirit, to do His will. Let's be open to the guidance given. Let's not reject Him, but accept Him with open arms. Come, Holy Spirit, we need You. And God is faithful. He gives to those who ask. He still guides His people, and He will lead us into the arms of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, when He comes again. He's coming back. Let's be ready. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank You for Jesus. We thank You for the redemption that Jesus provided. His blood covers all of our sin. And You have not left us here to fight a battle on our own, but You have given us Your very power, Your very Spirit to dwell within our hearts, our lives, to help us, to guide us, to be Your people until Christ comes again. Help us all to walk in Jesus, in Your power, Your Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If any of you are concerned about your commitment to Christ, you've not personally made a commitment to Christ, you've not obeyed His commands, we would love to talk with you, any of the elders, myself. Please don't delay, don't reject, don't delay the whole work of the Spirit in your life, but allow Him to use you to magnify you in the work of God. Amen? Let's stand as we sing our last song.